Welcome back. It's your host, Crystal Fox, bringing you another new episode of Crystal Ball Clarity of It All. This week's guest is Lauren Patterson. Lauren is a coach, speaker, podcast host, and author of the memoir, Freeing Your Heart for Love. She will be sharing her story around finding self-love and purpose. Help me in welcoming Lauren Patterson to Crystal Ball Clarity of It All. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Crystal.
I am so glad to have you on, and especially being a fellow podcaster, women in podcasting, you know, I love a good story. We met via Clubhouse and she instantly was supporting my brand new club and happy hour. We know I'm a happy hour host, folks. Mm-hmm. So it was so good to see you, and you had like your little frame that I made, and and now you're doing all of these amazing things. I've seen you on so many platforms, and she just caught me up on this amazing list. So if you are not on Clubhouse, I suggest you go and you listen, because she is there pretty much every day.
Yeah, that's right. I am. I love Clubhouse. Clubhouse introduced me to people like you, and I encourage everybody to get on Clubhouse, especially if you want to be a speaker, because that has helped me become a public speaker. Even though you can't see me, I was still able to gain the confidence to speak on stages because you're on a virtual stage.
Literally every day. And then also helping other people along the way in their speaking. That's what I really love about Clubhouse, is it gives you that opportunity to even step into like your own, or step against those fears. And then also meeting other people that are doing the same thing. So like, look at us, here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
So I really want to ask you the question, with the memoir named Freeing Your Heart for Love, can you really take us back to what that life experience was for you that led to writing the book now?
Yes, good question. I was sharing my experiences with my friends for probably over a decade of the brokenness that I was in, the hardships, the sadness, the depression. And a lot of people didn't know what I was truly going through. They just thought, oh, wow, she's dating again. You know, wow. So who's this guy, Lauren? Ha, ha, ha. And it was really something I didn't want to share, because I was so ashamed to tell them why I kept jumping from man to man. I was just searching for love in all the wrong places, literally, like the song. And I couldn't find it. I was searching for everything outside of myself with respects to love. I grew up in a home without love. So when I would share these experiences, everybody would always say, oh, you should write a book, or you should do a movie about your life. And a couple people like said they lived through me and I had an exciting life, but I was so sad. I was broken inside, but they didn't know. And so in April of last year, I joined a virtual writing workshop, and I started doing writing prompts, and I was writing about experiences from the 80s, the 90s, you know, the 2000s. And I just started crying, and I opened up my computer and just started typing. And even in that moment, I still didn't know I was going to write a book. And then these emails were coming to me from Hay House to join a writing challenge. So I joined the 7-day writing challenge, and that really opened up my eyes to writing a book, but I still wasn't sure I wanted to write a book. And then from that workshop, the challenge, I met a book coach that I connected with that helped me get my book started. And I joined her book program. And then I just really dove into it. I set myself a word count. I knew what I wanted to write about. I knew I wanted to write about my experiences with all these different relationships and what led me to my happiness now, which is self-love and true happiness for myself. It took me 29 years to figure that out. So I just kind of compiled 29 years of that sadness to take people through the journey of where I am today. And I'm the happiest I've ever been. I'm 49. I'm going to be 50 next year. Can you believe it?
And I cannot, because you do not look even close to 50. And it's, I'm shocked over here. I know this is audio and people can't see my face, but I'm shocked that you even said that you're 49. Like, get out of here.
I'm 49. Get out. But I was 42, Crystal, when I woke up. I was 42 when I said, that's it. No more. I'm going to start loving myself. I'm going to start valuing myself. My third husband, I was married three times before I met the husband now, who is the love of my life, my true love. But besides myself, I found myself, but I also yes. found him. And I couldn't find him until I found myself. It was after I found myself and my love for myself is when I met my husband. And I'm just so thankful that that third husband was the lesson I needed from the universe. The universe, I truly believe, was like giving me all these lessons throughout my life, but I wasn't getting it. It was like, I wasn't passing the test. I was given all these tests and I wasn't passing. So this was the ultimate test that just woke me up. Like a, it was like a light bulb flipped on my head and turned on. And it was like, okay, if you don't change something now, you're going to live the rest of your life like this, with continually meeting these men, unavailable men, giving your body, not valuing yourself, no self-worth. You're going to continue to do this for the rest of your life. That literally was in my head. And that's what's like, no, I don't want that anymore. So that's kind of what led me to the book.
Well, I do have to ask, you said that you've been married three times and, you know, you found the love of your life now, but what do you think really was the root of you not having the self-love instilled in you? Was it something from childhood? Did you have a good relationship with your parents?
That's a good question. No, I didn't. Both my parents, my mom was mentally abusive and my dad was physically abusive. And so I grew up in a home without love. Like nobody really taught me self-love. Self-love, I didn't even know what self-love was until I was like in my 30s. I truly did not know what that meant. And it was really super hard for me because I couldn't get past the concept of I can love myself and be happy. No. I have to love others to be happy. I have to go after that guy to be happy and that guy and that guy. And I'm going to make them love me. And that was my behavior for such a long time. And I didn't even realize what I was doing. I had no idea. And I think most women that I talk to now that after they read my book, they didn't realize that they were doing it the same thing. Like we have different stories, but similar struggles, and especially relationships. I think I've become, I'm not an expert, but I know a lot about failed relationships. And, you know, now I look at red flags and I'm like, wow, that was a red flag. And I would never see the red flags ever. It was always, you know, green, you know, there's nothing wrong with that guy. Let me just show him that I can love him and I can change him. And that whole codependent part of me. And I woke up, I said, I'm not doing that no more. I'm going to be loving myself, taking care of me and me first.
Me first. And I want to go back because you said that you found out in your 30s. I feel like the same. When I hit 30, I was like, what is happening? What is this like world that I'm experiencing? And obviously I'm lucky enough to be kind of in this time, like we both are, where mental health is being discussed, self-love mm-hmm. is being discussed. And I often have the conversation with my husband to put in a perspective that I really felt when I was younger, that the red flags, we were made as females to see it in ourselves mm-hmm. versus a guy. It was like this competition to get this guy, even though he came with all the baggage, all the things, we were going to fix him. He was going to mm-hmm. love us until we were happy, until we were whole. I look back now and I kind of like, oh my gosh, I had no idea, but I was doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I think most women do, unless you grew up in a home where you know something different. I didn't know any better at all. Nobody taught me. I had to figure it out.
Do you feel like that really contributed to just the people that you were picking? And you also use mm-hmm. codependency. I know that's something I've had to deal with too.
Yes, definitely. Because of the way I felt about myself, I was attracting those people. And I know that now. I realized all of this when I was writing the book. I didn't want to write in victim mode. So I wrote with mm-hmm. compassion, but I also wanted to take people through that journey of that scene from 1989, when I was that young girl who married at the age of 17 to this abusive man, because my first husband was mentally abusive. I went in from one abusive home to 9 more years of abuse with a man who was supposed to be my husband. And I had 2 kids with him. And so I was very young. I didn't even 17. Graduate high school. I was 17. My mom, Crystal, had to sign the papers.
That's what I was just going to ask. I'm like, how did
I was
you
a minor
17?
She agreed. Her husband at the time didn't like her kids, so he wanted us out of the house. So that was his way. He actually asked this man to marry me, and this man agreed. I still don't know if he offered him money or I have no idea.
Oh my gosh.
But that's how it all happened. I didn't even meet his parents, Crystal, before we married, my husband to be. He just brought me home. His mom was in the Philippines when we got married. She comes home from the Philippines and he's like, hey, here's your new daughter-in-law. And boy, she did not like me in the beginning. She did not like me.
She was probably shook. So you have two kids with him. Now, yes. Do you still have to have like a grown-up relationship with him?
No. So you'll be shocked, but while I was writing the book, my first and my third husband, they both passed away last year within 3 months of each other. So they're not even alive anymore. Oh, they're both gone. And I don't know how the universe conspired to have me write this book at that time. If the universe even knew that these guys were sick and they were going to pass away while I was writing the book, all of that is just a spiritual realm that I'm trying to figure out right now. But they were the worst part of my book, the first and the third part of my book. And they both passed away while I was writing the book. And so the first husband is not alive anymore. I still have my boys. But I had to explain to them, I'm writing about your father, but they're just experiences. He loves you both so much. And he was a really good father, but he wasn't a good husband. And so I had to explain that to my kids because I didn't want them to one day read the book. I asked them not to read it because nobody wants their kids to read about their sex life, you know, because there's a lot of sexual experiences in there. And so I just asked them not to read it because my oldest son is 32 and my second oldest is 27. So they're old enough to know. Yeah. I have grandkids, Crystal.
When I saw that you had three grandchildren, I was like, there's no way. I have to ask her about this.
Three grandkids. My oldest son has two boys, 1 and 4. So
have they attempted to read the book or they're like, okay, we're going to honor you.
I asked them not to because I said, when I pass away, you can, but I really don't want you guys reading about all those experiences right now. Mm-hmm. Their wives have read it. So both my son's wives have read it. I'm sure they've shared with them what's in it. But I really wanted to write just with compassion, like I said, and I really reflected at the end of each part of the book, even though the experiences were bad, I still took it back to where I don't blame any of my relationships. It was a decision I made to stay. I was there too, you know, and I really didn't want my kids to see that, oh, mom's just, you know, bad mouthing dad. So I wrote it that way where I just wanted them to know this is what happened. But then I reflected back and said, all those times, you know, I probably could have worked it out or something, you know? So that's kind of how I wrote the book.
Well, I like that you came from compassion and you talked about, you know, you didn't want to come from the space of being a victim. And I think that shows so much growth because I often sit down and that victim likes to come out sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Where you just like cry and then you're in.
I did that for years. I was like, why me? Why me? Why me? When I almost took my life in my 30s, I was there on the table with the pills. Why me? Really? You know, I just want this pain to go away. I just wanted the pain of another broken heart because it was with a guy that I write about in the book that hid me for a year because I wasn't of the culture. And I allowed this to happen because I just wanted to be with him so badly. And he just hid me from everybody, from the world. And I was just this like sex object, basically. And I allowed that to happen and it broke me and almost took my life because of it. So I got out of that.
And I can only imagine
it was hard.
I mean, wow. Cause you said 17 was your first marriage and then you were with him for 9 years. And then was this your second marriage? Years,
that this, guy I was just speaking of was just a boyfriend. But the second marriage was the guy that I have two more boys with. He's still alive. So he's the second part of my book. And we co-parent really well together now. It's nice that my kids are teenagers. They're 19 and 16 and they have their own phone. So I don't really need to talk to him. But I think I could have made that marriage work, Crystal, if I didn't carry a lot of the trauma from the first marriage into the second. I never sought therapy from that marriage. I didn't even seek therapy from the trauma I dealt with in my childhood. So I took a lot of that trauma into my second marriage, and it was not good. I was only married to him for 6 years. I fell out of love. I wanted my freedom again. I wanted to go be fancy, free, wild, you know, because I never had a teenage years. I was married at such a young age. I was having babies, and it was like, I never got to go have fun and date different people. And so that's what I thought, you know, and I was really sad when that divorce ended, because I felt like I could have tried differently, but it is what it is. And we co-parent, we live in the same city. So he lives like 5 minutes from me, but you know, once our youngest son graduates, we'll probably both leave the city we're in, because we're only here for the high school.
You're like, we're here for the kids, and then we're,
yeah.
Well, where would you move to next? Just curious.
I don't know. We want to stay where we're at, but we want to retire somewhere, because we live in California. So we want to buy a house, and where we live, the homes are outrageous. We can't afford it. So we're thinking of where could we afford to buy a house?
Yes, that is very valid, especially after last year, and yeah. California is very expensive. Mm-hmm. So my next question, so you go through these marriages, you're at 30, really considering possibly taking your life. And mm-hmm. I want to go back to that moment, because what were the steps that you took to really get out of that mindset? Because that's the darkest one that it mm-hmm. truly is. Yes. And I think a lot of us, whether we've had just it cross our mind, or we've gone to a certain extent, or we've had friends or family, I often don't think that we realize what that moment looks like. And it's really, mm-hmm. really tough and dark. But yeah. what were some steps that you took to really get out of that?
So what I did was, when I divorced my second husband, I thought getting bigger breasts was gonna, and I write about this in my book, which is why I'm talking to you about it, because I'm not ashamed to talk about anything, because I feel like it will help somebody yeah. out there listening. But I thought, if I could just change my body, if I could get these big breasts, you know, men will love me more. It was all about the men, you know, and yep. changing myself to make them love me. And I had a bottle of Percocet pills, and I had kept it. And those are the pills that I was going to use that night. And I remember talking to this guy I shared with you about how he hid me for a year. It was another fight we had. We were only together for a year, but man, we fought a lot, and crying. And I'm just, you know, the pain in your heart that just hurts your whole body. Like, my whole body was just hurting, and I was just crying. And I was like, I just want this pain to go away. You know, I'm worthless. Like, my kids, they're not going to love this mother. Who am I, you know? And all these thoughts, you know, going through my head. But mostly it was really dark. And I remember that night, because it was very dark in my apartment. And my apartment, Crystal, I had let my apartment go to shambles. Mm-hmm. I remember my brother-in-law coming over and saying, "Oh my God, you've never lived this way." And that's when I was going downhill. I didn't even know it. And I'm like, "What do you mean?" You know, because I had stuff everywhere. And I just remember sitting at my table. I remember how hard the chair was and how dark my apartment was. And I poured out the pills and crying, you know, and I was going to take all these pills. And I heard something, and I write about this in my book. And I truly believe now, looking back, that was my guardian angel telling me, "It's not your time to go." Because I heard something that scared the crap out of me. And I was like, "What is that?" Like, is somebody in the apartment with me? And I immediately like put all the pills back in. And then the next day I went to get therapy. And I told the therapist that I don't want to be around. I was going to take my life last night. And she said, "If you take your life, you will break your children." And that one sentence that she told me was something that stuck with me. I really practiced after that really hard to get those suicide feelings out of my head. I discovered spirituality. I practiced Nietzsche and Buddhism, and I really started in the practice. You chant for things to get out of your life. You chant for things to manifest in your life. And I chanted and prayed really hard to get this out of my head, and never had a thought after that. Like, it just disappeared. And that was never an option anymore. I knew that I had therapy. I knew that I had positive affirmations to read. I had the tools, you know, in my toolbox, and I was using them, and it was hard, but I said, I'm never going back to that place because I don't want broken children, because I was a broken child. I don't want to break my children. They don't deserve that. So I really worked hard to work on myself for my kids. So it was really for my kids because I was so close. But like I said, that voice I heard, whether it was in my mind or something in my apartment, I was scared. And I was like, okay, this is not the way to go. So
no. And I'm glad. And spirituality is something I stepped into quite at a young age. And I have to say, I thank you so much for being vulnerable and sharing that, because it takes so much. People don't realize how hard it is. And even for you the next day, and that's, I want people to understand there is so much strength in you picking up the next day and saying something's wrong, even saying something is wrong. I'm not right. There is strength in that. And when you sat there and said, I reached out and for therapy, and then you also were vulnerable enough then, going through everything, to share that, like that is amazing. And I know that you're, you know, you heard that from your therapist, but you got to her before that, before you heard that. And that is so much strength to go through all of that and not really have a support system either. Like you're not having
no support.
Someone that you can just fall back on. I mean, do you have a relationship with your parents once you left at 17?
No, in and out of my life, you know, like I would go to parties and pretend like I was the happy daughter and life was great, but I had to distance myself. I don't have a relationship with my whole family right now because I had to heal. They were part of that journey that I needed to release that toxic environment, because I would always get the guilt trip from them, or my mom would like bring me up and put me down in the same sentence. I was just tired of it. I was like, you know what? If I'm going to heal, I need to release all of that, all the toxicity in my life. And I'm so much happier. I love them where they're at. I just choose not to have a relationship with my mom or my dad because they were the abusers. You know, they were the ones that were part of my childhood and they only know what they know. So I've forgiven them. And I've forgiven myself, but I, in order to heal and continue to heal, because I'm still working on my journey, you know, I have to distance myself from those people that are not supposed to be in my life. And, so that's, you know, I have my little tribe. I have my four boys, my husband has three kids. So we have seven, and then we have three grandchildren. So we have our little tribe.
You've made your own family, and
and
you're sitting there being so like mentally health conscious. Like that is so, so important. And I am not someone who says just because they're your family, you should keep them around. I'm actually polar opposite. I pretty much have done the same thing, to be honest. I lost my parents when I was young and one to alcohol. He still is alive, but he's my abuser, and my mom passed because of the addiction. So I definitely get that. Yeah. And it's hard, especially even growing up, not having just like that almost security blanket is how I describe it often. Like you make so many different mistakes because no one's telling you exactly what to do. And, but there's no one to fall back on when you make those mistakes. And it's like this catch 22, like a trauma cycle really that you constantly are living in. And then to sit there and say, hey, I'm going to be, you know, healed for my family. I think that's amazing. And then you talk about releasing. And I think that there's power in releasing. Are there other ways that you really practice releasing?
Yeah, I meditate now. So when I was writing the book, I came across a meditation challenge. I love Hay House. Hay House saved my life. Louise Hay, she's not alive anymore, but I look to her like she was my mother, you know, the one that that brought me through the affirmations that I needed to know that I'm loved. And I still do her meditations because I have the Hay House Unlimited audio app. If anybody wants to check that out, it's amazing. I do my meditations from there. I do guided meditations, a lot of angel prayer meditations with Kyle Gray, which is another Hay House author. But I meditate now, and I have a daily practice every morning where I do my Buddhism and I meditate. And then I've incorporated angel card pull readings that I pull for myself every morning. And I go out into nature for like a few minutes. Today I sat out there and meditated out there for a few minutes. So that was nice, listening to the birds. But I kind of do that type of practice and really just kind of inspiring other people. I go into Clubhouse, like, you know, and I help promote and spread more love. I also have started a nonprofit that I think I shared with you a while ago. So the nonprofit is going to help teenage girls practice self-love. So I'm working on that and I'll share more of that with you. It launches next year. So it's called Show Up in Love. And so I'm pouring my energy and my love into these things that can help other people. So that's kind of like part of my healing journey, is just to give back. And I've always loved to give back, but I think giving back in this way now is amazing. The book was just a stepping stone for me. Mm-hmm. My true purpose, I think, is this nonprofit. Like, this nonprofit just happened and I'm so happy. I filed my 501c3. I'm just waiting for the IRS to get back to me. And I'm really happy. I'm working on my website and my workbook. And I've talked to a couple high schools already. So I'm really excited about the nonprofit.
That is definitely something to be excited about. That's huge. So please keep me informed and let me know how I can support you for the launch for next year. With that being said, thank you so much for sharing your story today. And everyone, I will have all of her information down in the show notes for you to like and subscribe. And then head over to Crystal Ball, Clarity of It All, like, subscribe, push the buttons, and do the things. And I will see you next week with a brand new guest and a brand new episode. Goodbye.